All right. Well, he has been one of the most active names at present, and he put on a show in October, and we hope to see him soon. Just completely transparent here, we don't know if he's going to be fighting March 23rd at the moment, but we certainly hope to see him soon. It's Nate Ayers. Nate, it is great to have you, man. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So one of the big things I wanted to ask you about, just to kick things off, is you had an exceptional performance back in October in your kickboxing debut. Your thoughts, just, you know, a few months later, what did you think of your performance back in October?
Yeah, so back in October, let's see, about my performance, it was, you know, kind of, I had a game plan going in, kind of formulated that with my coaches over at Sierra. And that kind of went out the window first round, to be honest. So a bit sloppy in my opinion.
Interesting. So I didn't necessarily think that at all. I thought you actually looked very, very, high level, if anything. But what about your game plan did you deviate from early on in those moments?
So it wasn't necessarily, I guess, not such a deviation from the game plan, but it was an overcommitment to the game plan. Just kind of like hitting it really, really hard on that smothers and closing the distance and things like that. And it, you know, started turning into like a football match, if you will, just kind of like smashing into them constantly. And that's kind of where I was coming from.
Was it, and we'll talk more about this later on, I actually plan to talk about it more, but was it weird to kind of make that transition from like MMA to kickboxing? Because I do remember one of those earlier exchanges, I think Tyler Tomlinson needed to separate you guys for half a second and just be like, hey, like, watch, you know, closing the distance and things like that. Is that something that happened in there?
Yeah, he stepped in, he separated us, and he just kind of gave us both a warning on clinching and takedowns and sweeps and stuff. Because the rule set for kickboxing is a bit different from like Muay Thai, if you will, and MMA in that sense. And so it was kind of a lot of like a bit of it was off balance, but a bit of it was, you know, just a hard warning.
We're also going to talk about your football days a little bit later on as well. One of the big things I wanted to ask you about as well was, what did Trey and Joel and the other likes over at Sierra MMA think about your performance?
They said, you know, I went in there and I got the job done. So at the end of the day, you know, I got that highlight reel and, you know, so performance wise, it was good. They didn't really have anything, you know, critiquing it. You know, they went back and slowed down the video and pointed out the things that I did good and some of the things that I did bad. And since then, kind of been working on a game plan to refine some of those moments.
Yeah, so you're currently a mainstay over at Sierra MMA, but you also clocked in a lot of time down here at Fusion MMA. I'm just curious, what sent you from Southern Utah up to Salt Lake?
My fiance, actually. So she's an athletic trainer, and she got accepted in to the U of U. So we packed our bags and moved up north.
Her being an athletic trainer, you guys met down in Southern Utah, I would assume. Is that correct?
Yeah, we did.
And so how much has it been a benefit for her to be an athletic trainer to kind of help you optimize your performance?
So much, so much. You know, she's learning a lot. She's in her second year of athletic training. And, you know, injuries happen all the time, jiu-jitsu, kickboxing, MMA in general. And it's nice to be able to come home and have her, you know, assess the injury and, you know, start doing treatments as like cupping, scraping, things like that. It's been a huge blessing.
Would you say you avoid injury more than the common fighter because of your fiance?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, if I get a strain in my leg and I'm like, this feels weird, I don't go back to train without having her assess it. And she kind of comes up with, you know, a diagnosis and starts to really work her magic. And then the next day I'm back on it.
You know, oftentimes high level athletes, people don't necessarily want to fully commit to what the medical diagnosis is. Maybe, hey, take 3 weeks off. It's like, I'll take 2 weeks off, whatever it may be. Have you guys ever butted heads or anything like that about, you know, hey, take 2 weeks off? It's like, I got to get back in there in 7 days or I don't know.
Yeah. So I had a motorcycle accident in 2022 right after my first MMA fight, and I tore my ACL, MCL, and meniscus. And, you know, I had surgery, and then 4 months later, I was like, I got to get back into it. And she's like, no, no, no. You know, minimum, you're supposed to be waiting a year to start back to training. And I think I had my first jiu-jitsu tournament 4 months post-surgery.
Man, that is incredible. That is absolutely incredible. So we're actually going to talk a lot more also about your jiu-jitsu competition experience as well, because that is such a staggering stat. We actually have something going up in a couple of days about it. What was it like kind of getting started down here in Southern Utah under ACE in such a big school and one that's been so successful over the years?
Yeah, a lot of credit to ACE Martial Arts, Fusion Jiu-Jitsu and MMA. They poured in a lot of time and energy into me, you know, getting me set with the fundamentals. I remember walking into Christian's morning class for the first time, not really knowing what to do. And, you know, they accepted me as an athlete, open arms, and, you know, kind of started pushing me into the jiu-jitsu scene and the overall MMA scene. Meeting some of the guys down there, Zane Darlington, who else? RJ, Chris Villegas, Jack, all their fight team guys, Sharks in their Shark Tank. We kind of, you know, they showed me a lot when I first started down there.
How long have you now been with Sierra? Has it been a year?
Yeah, we're coming up on a year, so we're closer to like 9 months at Sierra.
Awesome. And how has that transition been from going down from Southern Utah and moving your way up to Salt Lake, kind of changing camps, changing the style in which you train and things like that?
It was hard at first. I mean, going from such a huge gym like ACE's gym down to Sierra, which is a little bit smaller of a gym. The transition and meeting everybody and learning kind of their style and what they're doing down there and kind of switching up programs was a bit of a speed bump. But since then, it's honestly been a huge blessing.
What was the decision to land at Sierra versus any of the other gyms up there north?
To be honest, I was talking to Zane. I asked Zane which gyms he would suggest. I asked Ace, I asked Christian, and they all pointed me towards Sierra. So that was enough. I trust them enough. And so that's kind of, I took their word for it. And that's how I ended up over there.
No, definitely been in good hands throughout the entirety of this, both incredible schools. One thing I wanted to ask you about, you just recently got your blue belt. What was that experience like receiving your blue belt from Pedro?
Yeah, great experience. I definitely was, you know, preparing for that blue belt and working hard for that blue belt. And finally get it under Pedro was a huge, huge deal for me. Kind of just shows all the hard work that I've been putting in on the mats and everything, all those hours kind of paid off with a belt, you know. But yeah, at the same time, you know, I got the stats to prove it, you know, I definitely earned that for sure.
Yeah. So let's actually dive in a little bit to those stats. Dating back to January of 2022, you have had 42 matches.
Yeah.
And it's just, that's a staggering number. I mean, that's a lot of competition reps. Do you enjoy competing? Have you always enjoyed competing?
Yeah. I love competing. You know, I definitely am very competitive. I have a very competitive nature, and I played football growing up. I played lacrosse growing up, and I stopped my sophomore year of high school in 2016. And I just put down all sports completely and just started working out. Kind of, that was it. And so something kind of drew me back. I was looking for a sport to pick up again because I had been lifting a lot and I wanted to really, you know, push my body to the limit and see how it, you know, compares to others in competition. And I was looking at football, I was looking at wrestling, I wasn't quite sure. And then I was like, yeah, you know what, I'll give this jiu-jitsu thing a try. And you know, I started competing jiu-jitsu tournaments and it kind of just lit a fire in me. And it's just something I'm very passionate about.
Do you think that, you know, lacrosse, contact sport, football, contact sport, do you think those two things kind of aided you in moving towards specifically a martial art?
For sure. And specifically for me, like in football and lacrosse, I was always the hardest hitter on the team. I always wanted to hit, and be hit and just, I was super aggressive and that was kind of like my thing was, oh, that kid's the hardest hitter for sure. Like, don't mess with him. Like, he'll lay you out. And that definitely has carried over into the MMA scene for sure.
Did you play deep hole?
No, see, I wasn't deep. I was middie, but I mean, I did both. So I was deep hole for a little bit, but I mainly was midfield.
What was the decision to step away and kind of just focus more on your strength and conditioning?
Honestly, it was weed and drugs. I kind of fell into that scene for a little bit, and that lasted about 2 to 3 years. And once I came out of that, I just had a lot of anxiety and I didn't know how to channel it. So I found the gym, and that was up for a long time my source to alleviate some of that anxiety and stress.
How much has martial arts been able to help you in terms of, making sure that drugs and whatever it may be isn't, a crutch for you in your life?
Oh, big time. I mean, not only that, but spiritually and emotionally, it definitely has played a huge part in my life. Like, when I went to ACE and when I went to Fusion, I definitely was a lost soul. I hadn't found myself, and I didn't really know which direction I was going in. I didn't really know who I was. And stumbling into Fusion MMA and being exposed to jujitsu and kickboxing and striking really started to open up my roots again. And I found myself, that competitive nature. And I really feel like that is a big part of who I am, just being, competitive and performing my best and competing against others. And that really draws that out of me.
That's very interesting. I hear a lot of stories. I talk to a lot of fighters, and oftentimes it's difficult for their families to watch their kids, go and compete and, potentially hurt themselves, right? I mean, it's a fight that you're going into.
Yeah.
Has your family almost embraced it because this has kind of taken in and kind of helped you get back onto the right path?
Yeah. So they're definitely supportive about it. They've seen me play football and lacrosse growing up. I was always super athletic about that, and so I think they know that I'm capable. But there's always a little bit of uncertainty of watching me go into the cage and people are like, oh, what's gonna happen? It comes with the game.
So one of the big things I wanted to ask you about was just some of the differences that you felt from October to when you made your MMA debut about a year prior. What were
Yeah.
some of the differences between having big gloves on versus little gloves, being able to grapple versus not? Was it hard to adjust?
So we actually ended up having to use, I had brought my gloves, he had brought his, and they were 16 ounces. So it was an additional 4 ounces bigger than we had anticipated. And kind of going in there, it felt like I had weights on my hand. So I was like really trying to punch and make up for that in that
How
sense.
did you have to adjust within the fight? Were you in the back, like just trying to get acclimated to the heavier gloves? But also
Yeah.
they're your gloves, so you kind of train in them. I mean,
Oh yeah.
how did that all come to be?
The thing is that I had literally just bought those gloves a week before the fight. So not even broken in, brand new, kind of like never worn before, really. And so it was kind of, I definitely had to like, fill it out, shake it out, and kind of get adjusted to it. At the same time, I was sitting there, I was talking to Joel, and I was like, and I was talking to Zach too. I was like, I can't, how am I supposed to knock somebody out in 16 ounces? And they're like, hit them hard, and sure be it.
That is so impressive. I mean, what was your mental state like now walking towards the cage, and you have an extra 4 ounces that you have to put your power through?
It was like I wanted to punch through the glove. Like, it really felt like I had to hit a lot harder. Mentally. So I was just kind of trying to make up for that through the power of my punches.
Do you plan to go back to MMA at some point?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm touching up on this kickboxing as if they were jiu-jitsu tournaments, with the mentality of transitioning back to MMA.
What was the decision to specifically start doing kickboxing? Did you feel like you kind of needed to up your levels in the striking department, or was it something that maybe Sierra suggested? How did that all come to be?
Yeah, so it was a suggestion by Sierra. We do have a kickboxing program, and that's what it's titled. And if you're part of the kickboxing program, you're going to be doing kickboxing. We don't necessarily, other than Joel, Joel's the only one at Sierra that actually is competitively competing MMA. And so we haven't made that transition into classes for MMA specifically. So I think that's where the kickboxing is coming from. We have started to do a lot of Muay Thai, and so our one of our fight guys, Aiden, he just had a Muay Thai fight through Wicked Ways in that, and so he did really well in that too.
No, Aiden's doing a great job. Nakai is also on this March 23rd card. We're hoping to make sure that we can find an opponent for you at the time of us recording this. And Joel obviously putting on that performance last month. One of the other big
Oh
things I
yeah.
want, yeah, no, I mean, he looked incredible. That's actually something I should ask you is what do you make of the Sierra Fight Team? Obviously, Aiden, Nakaya, as well as Joel and yourself seem to be the most active, but also I know Trey has competed in the past. Like, who are you looking forward to potentially competing in the future, and what do you just make of this team?
Our team is a solid team for sure. Joel, obviously, I call him the general because he's the one actively fighting. You know, he's behind us, walking us into the cage. And so I definitely have a lot of respect for Joel as the general, because he's in there, he's actively competing, he's pro, he's showing us what to do, how to do it, and show out. He's there through our fight camps, we're there through his fight camps, and I see his mentality shift, and the way it shifts is very, it's unique. He's very driven, and he definitely has his intentions set on winning, which is awesome. With that being the pinnacle of kind of like our fight team, it's kind of nice to know that we have the number one bantamweight
Yeah.
in so that's good.
How valuable would you say it is to have someone like Joel to kind of lean on and look at as almost like a target of where you could go if you are to, continue on this journey?
Yeah, it's really nice because Joel, he's been around the block. He's got a handful of amateur fights, a handful of kickboxing fights, just finished his sixth pro MMA fight. So he knows people, and it's nice because he can set things up and get fights for the fight team, and he can make a couple calls, set up a couple sessions for people around the valley for boxing lessons, holding pads for Muay Thai, kickboxing. So it's nice to have someone on the scene and as involved as he is, because if I have a question, I always just go and ask Joel, hey, what do you think about this? Or I heard, they're looking for a 145er at this promotion. He'll give me the advice of, yeah, do it, let's do it. Or, yeah, that promotion's not a very good promotion. Let's stick to this. And he kind of
Interesting.
guides me in that sense of direction.
Interesting. So, kind of following up on that, what is the future in your eyes? Like, how many fights do you want in 2024? And when do you want, or where do you want to kind of take your career as of right now?
So in 2024, I got a lot going on. And I do want to fight. I want to fight at least 2 to 3 times this year. Kickboxing and then maybe even MMA, but definitely kickboxing. Definitely will be doing some jiu-jitsu tournaments this year. And Muay Thai if it's available, staying active, and then maybe towards the end of this year, transitioning into MMA, or maybe beginning of next year MMA.
Well, he has been on quite the tear in terms of his competition schedule. We hope to continue to see it. And hopefully, we see you on March 23rd in a kickboxing slate. Nate Ayers, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Blake. Appreciate you.